bottle, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you need me, I'll be right there. Cause when you get right down to it, you're simply beautiful. Simply beautiful. Simply, simply beautiful.
Jazzy 88 WFSK Artist of the Week, Kevin Whalum, Tennessee's own local treasure. Here we have our Tennessee treasure, we have our Nashville treasure, we have our Memphis treasure, but he's our statewide treasure. Kevin, how you doing today, darling?
Hey, Sharon, how you doing, love? I'm good.
Well, I haven't talked to you in more than 20 minutes. I mean, you know, I'm like, man, I haven't talked to you in some time. How you been?
Yeah. I have been.
Okay.
I have been. You know, life, what's that commercial? Life comes at you fast.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm so good now. I'm so very, very good now. And this CD release is just part and parcel of the things that God has allowed me to walk into in the last couple of years. I live in Memphis. You know, I'm born and raised here.
Yeah.
And I live in Memphis now. I left Nashville in 2020 and came home. But God is so good. I'm involved in just purpose work now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, music is not going anywhere, but I gotta say, I can't say music is my purpose.
Yeah.
It's something completely different, and I'm so excited about it, I can barely sleep at night.
Yeah.
So, I'm just covered up in goodness.
You know, you're an instrument, so, and that, you know, the gifting is in you. And, I mean, that's that. And, you know, some folks wish they had it.
You're very kind, and I'm very grateful for the gift God has given me. Yeah. Music is definitely a gift that I don't forsake it by any means. I'm just aimed in a kind of in a new direction right now.
Okay. Well, I see you had time to release, and I said, okay, all right, because, you know, I hadn't talked with you in since probably before you left, and you know, because I used to catch up with you, you know, a couple times a year and stuff, and I know when the pandemic came, you know, everything went upside down for people, and understood. And well, first and foremost, how's the family?
The family's good. My kids graduated from Rhodes College in 21 down here in Memphis. They're back in Nashville now, though, with their mom. And but, you know, man, I'm so grateful for those girls. I'm so grateful for the young women that they have become and that they continue to grow to be. One is focused on medical school, and the other one is focused on veterinary school. So we are just as proud as we can be of them and the good citizens that they are.
Yeah.
You know, they are all about loving folk and trying to help somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm just proud as I can be.
Well, that's because y'all put it in them, see?
Yeah.
It had to start from somewhere. It didn't just magically appear, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And I know you have always talked about the girls and, you know, catch up with me. And over the year, I remember when they were real little. You're talking about graduating from college, Lord.
Right. 23-year-old twins.
Wow, that is amazing. I remember a long time ago, back probably about, oh Lord, at least 10 or so, oh no, more like 13 or 14 years ago. I remember one time you brought them up to the station and to visit. They were just little sweet little girls, and now they're going. Lord have mercy, time has flown by. That is amazing. Well, you know, Kevin, we do miss you, although you do make appearances in Nashville. You didn't become complete vapor like some folks do when they move on, but you going back home to where your roots makes sense to me. You know, it just does.
It was not something I saw coming, Darren. It was something that God put in me. He put it in me as a tug on my spirit, and I could not identify why. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, why is he making me go home? I mean, Memphis, as we know it to be now, is not a destination city.
Right.
At least not like Nashville. And so why am I being called away from this destination city to my hometown, which is struggling to regain the pre April 4th, 1968 event that changed the trajectory of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fully entrenched in my purpose now, which is getting to the youth of this city, getting into the DNA of who they are, speaking to them. I have a motivational speaking company now. That's where I live now, in that space. And so I launched it in May last month, and in my first week I spoke to almost 500 students.
Oh wow!
And so it has taken off, and there are good things. I'm crafting new programs under the auspices of my company, and I'm crafting new programs for academia, for faith-based organizations, for private clientele, just for any civic organizations, social organizations, boys and girls clubs, fraternities, sororities, whatever. I am available to come and speak to you, and my focus, Sharon, is reversing the ravages, and I do mean ravages, of low self-esteem.
Wow.
Low self-esteem is the crippling agent of our time.
It truly is. It's like kryptonite, man. It really is.
It's like battery acid in somebody's face.
Yes.
And if you don't believe you're worth a damn, how are you expected to give a damn about anybody around
you? There you go.
So we got to fix that seed. We got to plant a different seed.
Yeah.
And the younger, the better. So that's what I'm doing. And it gets me out of my bed every day. It gets me motivated. It gets me fired up.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy that God gave me my clarity. All of 2021 was, it was the most painful personal year of my life. But it also became the brightest year of my life, because it clarified, gave me all my new priorities, all of my marching orders.
Yes.
And so 2022 has simply been about implementing what he gave me.
Well, and Kevin, and let me just let you know that I have, my whole career has been dual careers. I've always had two things. So, you know, I get it. I mean, I totally get it. And, you know, you walking and working in gifting, either way it goes. Will you go out and share with them where's their hearts at on some stuff? Or are you able to get a breakthrough?
Well, the way I constructed the program is based around repetitive visits. So if I meet with 10 students at school A, when I come back, I only want to see those 10 students. And when I come back, I only want to see those same 10 students, because I have to have the ability to mark their growth. So I can't speak with different students each time and have this program be effective. So it's based on repetitive visits. And it's the way that, it's what I give them to do between the days that I'm going to see them again. So day one, I give them these tools. But the first thing I do is tell them good things about themselves.
Yeah.
And it takes them a long time to trust me, because they're not built to trust anybody.
That's true.
And if you stand in front of a kid who has never had his mother or father speak positive things into their lives, you got to break that down first. You got to let them know, listen, you can't listen to negative things anybody says about you. You can't, even if you call her mama, you can't allow any negative things that she says out of anger. She calls you dumb, and you just like your daddy. You stupid this. And look, I'm so sick of seeing and hearing parents curse their children out. It's about to make me sick.
I go
to the grocery store, and by the time I walk in, I can hear somebody. I can't even see them, but I can hear them down some aisle cursing their young children out.
Wow.
And it just makes me crazy. So,
yeah.
So you have to break down that wall of deficiency that has been built up by their closest relatives and friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you've got a person who's 13 years old sitting in front of you, more than likely he's got 13 years of negativity that he lives with.
Mm.
That he can't hear you. He can't even understand the words you're saying. What do you mean I can do this? What do you mean I'm worth this?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to come back again and again and again and visit those same students until they wake up and go, oh, so you're saying I have value.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can do whatever I want to do if I just blah, blah, blah. That's where I am, Sharon. And so it takes yeoman's work.
Oh, yes.
It's heavy lifting,
oh,
but it is. It's so worthwhile to me, you know.
Yeah. Well, and as you're doing it, you know, the rewards are going to come, and it may not come like you want it, but it's going to, you know, I hate to sound like church, but hello, it's going to be on time. Because, yeah, it's very much needed. And, you know, we speak on this subject a lot on my talk show. And, you know, the parents, you know, some of them were raised just like what you're describing, that they have been manifest from what they learned. And if
they can't do better if they don't know better.
Yeah, well, they can if they didn't grow up with that. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are you planning on maybe in some way having a component where it can hit some of them? Because, you know, we're talking about issues galore, generationally.
Well, again, I had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm starting, the company's not even a month old.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually it is. It's exactly a month old today. But I had to start somewhere. So
yeah.
my starting point is youth.
Yes.
That's my starting point. But I will speak to any group of people and any group of any age, of any race, because self-esteem is colorful.
Yes.
Low self-esteem is colorful.
Yeah.
So it's not about just focusing on one particular race or one particular age group.
Yeah.
It's about having the starting point be a thing and then expanding from there.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, that's it.
Okay. Was this, since I've been knowing you for as long as I have, this was in you all the time, right? I know it was, wasn't it?
Let me tell you that story. So yes, but like I mentioned, in about 2021, in the first quarter of 2021, I went through a very painful personal situation, right? So as I was reeling from that, I have a mentor who is in Nashville. His name is Pastor Chris Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pastor at Pleasant Green Church there in Nashville.
I know him well. He's around the corner from us.
Right. So he's my mentor, my spiritual advisor, my spiritual mentor. And so I was talking to Chris after having, you know, been hit with this situation, and I was reeling, Sharon. I was reeling and grasping for relevance and trying to see, well, should I try this or should I do this? And
mm-hmm.
should I begin this? And he was quietly sitting there listening to this panic in my voice, and he said one sentence. I'm sorry, it tickles me to think about. He said one sentence in the context of his ministerial capacity. He said, "What is that in your hand?" And I said, "Are you talking to me? I mean, I'm sitting here telling him all these different things that's going on with me." And his response was, "What is that in your hand?" I thought he was talking to somebody at his house. And I said, "Are you talking to me?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What'd you say?" He said, "What is that in your hand?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Think about it." And it hit me like a ton of bricks. That's what God said to Moses when he was instructing him that he was the one he wanted to do all of this heavy lifting to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt. At 80 years old. He started this process with Moses. Moses was 80 when God told him to go and talk to Pharaoh. He had been a fugitive, a murder fugitive, for 40 years. He killed a man when he was 40. And Moses had left the area for 40 years, and then that 4 years passed. God is talking to him, and Moses is openly rebelling against God. He's like, no, I'm not your dude. I stutter. I don't speak well. You want me to go in front of the Pharaoh and tell him, you said, let my people go. He said, God, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. And he said, because what he was saying is, out of his low self-esteem, is that I'm not worthy of this task. I don't have the tools that I think I need to do what you're asking me to do. God said, what is that in your hand? And he said, what, this staff, this rod? He said, yeah, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground, and it turned into a serpent. And he almost ran away. God called him back, said, grab it and pick it back up. So that's what he did, and it turned back into a staff. In other words, and when you think of Moses now, the only thing that is synonymous with him is that staff.
Right.
Raised above his head, parting the Red Sea. That is his synonym. So what God was saying to him is, when he asked, what is that in your hand? He said, you already possess everything you need to do the work I have given you to do. I gave it to you. You have it in your hand. So Chris was asking me, what is that in my hand? And when it dawned on me why he was saying that, he was telling me, you have got everything you need already. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You're already comfortable in front of people. You're already articulate. You're already gregarious. You already connect with people on an emotional and intellectual level. You've got everything you need. Now turn the corner away from music for a little bit and focus on this motivation. Focus on this inspiration that I'm giving you to give to other people. Because this is where you will be effective. Because I dealt with low self-esteem for decades, Sharon. So I'm the point person that anybody needs to talk to get their self-esteem back on track. I'm just that chosen person to get it done.
Well, Kevin, and as you are, and as you're talking about this, and musically knowing that is in you as well as your voice, is that why you felt it was time for you to do this organic release?
The organic thing was actually not a plan. It was my manager, Adrian Granderson, AG, for all of y'all in Nashville who listen to the radio. AG is my manager. So we had done this concert several years ago, that we didn't realize that the venue had recorded. We didn't realize that they had recorded the audio. So, and he had forgotten that they had given him the file of the concert. So he was cleaning off, when I mean, clicking, dragging it to the trash on the desktop. He was clicking and dragging stuff, cleaning off his desktop in October of 21. And he saw my name, so he double-clicked it, and he heard this music. He said, what is this? He knew who it was, but he didn't know what it was from. And then he said, oh, this is that show. And he called me up and said, dude, I'm going to send you this file. Listen to it. He said, I believe we need to just release this because it's a great show. And there's no reason this can't be on the market. And that's how that happened. So it's really, and he produced it. So because we had to do some things in post to get it really, ready. So that all goes to AG. That all goes to Adrian Granderson. It was his idea. It was close to being completely trashed in the trash of his unrecoverable data on his computer. So we saved it and got it out.
Well, yeah, really, so Kevin, it was from up above, and
right.
AG was the rod to get it to happen. because that was already in the heavenlies for you. And that's it's amazing how things, you know, develop like that, because it is a live project. And I was wondering where you were as I have listened to the cuts. And so that was in Nashville?
I hesitate to say where it was. Okay. Just say it was live. Let's say it was live.
Okay.
Let's put it like that.
Yeah, well,
every song was recorded live.
Well, I felt like I was in the room with you.
And sonically, it's different. It doesn't have the same fullness as most things that you hear these days. It's only a guitar, a bass, and me sitting on that Latin instrument called a cajon, which is a Latin percussion instrument, playing. It's three people, me, Jay White on bass, and Josh Lutz on guitar. Mm. And so it's already empty. It's already, there are no background singers, there's no piano, no horn. So it's already a sonically different offering than what you are inundated with today. And the reason that I did that concert was to show people that you don't need a whole lot of instrumentation, a whole lot of tricks and samples and computer this to feel good, to have a song feel good, to have it feel right. And I said, you know, I want to invite you in as if we are in rehearsal, because this is kind of what it would sound like if we were in a room practicing, you know, and all of the ideas and fun and instantaneous, you know, screams, you know, because somebody would play something and I would literally scream into the microphone, you know, I'd go, woo, you know, something like that, you know, because you just connected with the guy who played it, and you're having that transfer of organic, spontaneous energy. That's what that record is, organic energy.
Well, and I will tell you, the simplicity of it is what attracted me to it when I was selecting the cuts. And I do know that, you know, I'm one of your number one fans anyway. So, you know, I got your other stuff in the library in here. Because, you know, everything you've done, you know, you slide it over to me. I don't take it for granted. I pull cuts. And, you took a lot of stuff that was 1970s, and you put your spin on them. Talk about a couple of those songs. Like, 1972 seemed like the Bill Withers song and the Al Green song and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Or were you in some kind of mood of feeling that...
that's just the music of my era. Just like somebody that's 20 years older than me always references the 60s, you know, in that era of Motown music and stuff. The 70s was when I came into myself as a music lover. Songs in the Key of Life, Bill Withers, Sting, The Police, Steely Dan, James Taylor, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, everybody likes Prince. You know, Prince came out in 77, 78. And so that was the era, the decade that really solidified my foundation of love of music.
Yeah.
And with two brothers who loved music like I did, and a mother who played all the soul crooners on the radio, Brooke Benton, Walter Jackson, you know, Lou Rawls, you know, I mean, I couldn't get, Aretha Franklin was ever present in my house. So, and being in Memphis, first of all, with Al Green as a Memphian, you're just going to listen to that stuff.
That's,
you know, James Brown, the whole nine. So, I mean, I just got it honest, Sharon. I got my love of soul music and 70s music, honestly, because I just was exposed to it, you know, and I just, that is the platform or the foundation of everything I consider good music now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got to tell you, Kevin, that, you know, the Bill Withers one, I think you're the only one I know that's covered that song. You know, I was like, dadgum, and I said, yeah, that's my stuff. And then you said it like he repeated it at the end. I'm like, listen to you on this radio. I love it, man. I love it.
And if you don't put the tuh at the end of that gummit, it's not the same. You've got to put, because he did.
Yes.
He did that. Yeah. Stuff. You know, he put that stuff on there, and it just made me, it did everything.
Yeah, yeah. And you didn't just repeat it once or twice. You repeated it at the end, over and over at the end.
Every time I perform it live now, I tell the audience, all right, now, I'm going to give you a free, non-vulgar curse word that you can use in front of your kids. You can use it at church.
Yes.
You know, that gummit is what you needed to be in any moment. So
absolutely.
It's so much fun for me to perform. Yeah. That might be my favorite one on the record.
I love it. I said, oh my God, I hadn't heard, because you know a lot of people do Lovely Day, Lovely Day. And I had not heard anyone do that one. I said, oh my God, I love that song. So you know, you was in my heart, Kevin, with everything on this project. And I'm just really, really grateful to know you and know the family all these years and everybody. Whenever I talk to, you know, anybody, you know, they know we just pick it up from the last conversation. And, you know, I just really want to applaud you for recognizing that, you know, you're supposed to, you have a place and a purpose. When are you going to start to just preaching and carrying on?
Well, I've been preaching since 2015.
Okay.
So that will never go anywhere. That is part and parcel of who I am. I was called to the ministry late in my life, so that meant something anyway. Is that, you know, I never said I would never preach. I can honestly say, and you know what, let me say this. When people come up to me, or came up to me when they found out that I was now preaching, and they would start, you know, lead off with the sentence, "You finally got tired of running, huh?" I would get so hot. I would get so mad that I would say, first of all, it's disrespect for you to indict me as if you know me, first of all. You know my name, but you don't know me. But for you to tell me that I'm the kind of person that would run from what God is telling me to do because I didn't want to do it pisses me off. So first, that's the first thing. So because I never said that I wouldn't preach. I said I won't preach until or unless he calls me.
Right.
And he didn't call me until deep into my life. And that's when I responded with yes. Yeah. And it has been very fulfilling. I'm in seminary right now at the Samuel DeWitt Proctor School of Theology that is housed at Virginia Union University in Richmond.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not there in person. I take my classes virtually.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very excited. I have learned a lot. I've only taken two classes so far, but both of them have been insightful and just really, really eye-opening for me, reading the Bible now with a new understanding and with, you know, intent.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just, you know, saying I read for 15 minutes.
There you go. That's what, you know, help the understanding much better than you can see why you're in this world for this time period, because you certainly are. You know, you used to say this, Kevin, to me all the time whenever I come in contact with you, either, you know, if you had some songs or you come up here for fundraisers and different things, because everybody I know, and when it's fundraising time, everybody's family, okay? Y'all need to come up here and quit playing because we got to raise this money. And you always made yourself available. But I know you used to always say, you look at me right now, you say, "Sharon Kay, keep praying for me." And I said, "Oh, yes, most definitely." You know, and this really does fill my heart. Since you come from a preaching family anyway, it just makes sense to me. I just, you know, I'm ready. So bring it on, Rev.
right on. Yeah, I appreciate that, Shannon. Thank you for that support. I appreciate it. That's what Pastor Chris was telling me in that one sentence. He was like, "You're already preaching.
Yes.
You're already comfortable in front of congregations or stadium fulls of people.
Yes.
And you have no trepidation about putting ideas on paper and writing them out and speaking them out. So that is what you should do."
Right.
And that's how I got to the master. The name of the company, by the way, is Masterpiece Motivational.
Okay.
And the masterpiece is spelled with PEACE.
Right.
Masterpiece Motivational. And so So when God gave it to me, he gave me the name, he gave me the plan to put into effect, and I have already started the idea. I've got some things I can't talk about because their contracts are pending, but I'm really, really excited about the end of the, well, the fall of this year and next year, too. So
you're going to keep me posted, really, really, I know, right?
Oh, it will not be a secret. It's not like I'm doing a silent launch of a company.
Okay, because I know sometimes people I know, I got to track them down like, y'all, I shouldn't have to do this, okay?
The thing that I have to remember is that I have to respect the fact that people expect music from me.
Yes,
they do. I have to respect that. So when you go into an environment, that's the first thing they expect. Now I have to kind of tear that down and say, okay, I appreciate that, but allow me to go in this direction with you now. Allow me to go and touch a different part of you that is not a musically inclined place. If I need to use music at some point, certainly I will employ it. It is a gift. But my main concern right now is reversing the downhill, untethered locomotive of low self-esteem that hampers the growth of our youth, especially in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, well, I tell you, that's a lifetime of work, because working on your self-esteem, you know, and I'm off the air, you know, we can share stories, but it is an absolute life's work, and you simply must do it at all times, and don't take anything for granted. Kevin, I want to know, next time you come to Nashville, you know, if you don't stop by, I'm going to tell family, I'm going to call family and say, I cannot believe this brother came to Nashville, slid in, and didn't say, and you around the corner at Pleasant Green, and you didn't say, hey. Oh, that's unacceptable.
Right, right. No, I will do better in that attempt, I promise you. And listen, thank you for this platform. Thank you for spotlighting me this week. I've always appreciated your support, Sharon, and I'm sincere about that. So thank you for that. And just so you know, even though I'm starting and I'm headquartered here in Memphis as this company grows, I am already talking to people in London about me coming there to do what I do in Long Beach, California, people in Detroit. So I am going to take this. So if you know of people that have organizations that have access to organizations, particularly organizations that have youth, like Boys and Girls Clubs or whatever, even fraternities, sororities, whatever, low self-esteem cripples every strata of person.
It does.
The rich, and it cripples the poor. Yeah. So if you come to see me, I am going to help you. That's the bottom line. So reach me at info@masterpiecemotivational.com. At masterpiecemotivational.com.
Okay.
And we can set up, and Masterpiece, again, is spelled with P-E-A-C-E, not P-I-E-C-E.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you to give that. Yeah. And also, Kevin, where can they, we're talking about music here, where can they find your organic music project?
You can find it on iTunes, not Apple Music. Apple Music streams. You pay for the service, but you don't necessarily transfer that. That does not reach the artist.
Right.
Let me say that very clearly. If you are paying into a music streaming service, the artists whose music you stream don't see any money from that.
Wow.
So if you go to iTunes, iTunes.com is still a thing.
Yeah.
Go in, type in my name. You will see the $9.99 at the bottom of the screen where you can click on it like you used to before Apple Music was a thing, back when you had to buy the music. It still matters. It really does. So if you go to iTunes.com and look and type in my name, or just type in organic music, and you'll see my name, then you will see the $9.99 button to push to purchase the record. That's when I see some return on my investment.
Okay.
That's where they can find iTunes and every other platform that uses a streaming service, the Android, all of it has a place to buy the music.
Okay.
You just have to know what to put in.
Right.
I don't know exactly what the Android side of things are. I mean, side of things is right now because I don't have it in front of me. But if you just Google the sentence, how to purchase music on Android platform or something like that, or Google Play, it'll show you how to do that.
Yeah.
Not just streaming, but purchase.
Yeah, well, you know, people, everybody doesn't want to stream and everybody doesn't want to download. Because once your stuff gets full and all that is gone to the wayside or crashes, then that's your money gone. I need something tangible. So, you know, your website, is it KevinWhalum.com or something?
I am Kevin Whalum. Yeah, I am KevinWhalum.com.
Okay.
But the issue with this particular record and that I did with my eyes wide open is I didn't print any CDs. It's all digital because nobody's buying them, Sharon. Not to the degree that it justifies the cost of producing and getting them replicated. So it's a cost prohibitive move now to buy, you know, to have 1,000 CDs replicated because people aren't buying them. And it's just, I mean, they're not even putting them in new cars. They're not even putting CD players in new cars. So that's a dying medium.
Well, sort of. Now, Kevin, sort of. Okay. The reason why I'm saying that is because let me just give you the other side of that. Okay. The other side of it is, we had a major system go down here. Okay, major. Okay, almost put us out of business thing. And thousands and thousands and thousands of songs were on their downloads. And, you know, when the backup almost catches on fire, I'm saying major, major. We wouldn't have had, you know, so I mean, for us, because we are 24/7 thing, you know, we have multiple layers. But, you know, some people just want a tangible, and they don't want a download and a jam up and the confusion, you know, so I can understand what you're saying and doing, though, because everybody,
You respect that I have to make decisions based on
income. Your finances, like everybody else.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's thousands of dollars
It is. I see the time is coming when that won't be a problem, and I want you to give AG my best. I haven't talked to him in a while either, so y'all don't be acting like you don't know me. Okay.
That's a traveling man.
Yeah, whatever, but don't you act like you don't know. I've been knowing AG since he was a youngster. So I ain't saying I'm old, but I mean, he was a youngster. Anyway, having said that, Kevin, I appreciate you so much. And love to you and the family. And I look forward to the day when you can come by and say hey in person, okay?
Absolutely, sir. I'll do that as soon as I can, and I can't make any promises as to when it will be.
That's fine.
But I can tell you that I will do it when I am there.
Okay, excellent. All right, listen, Kevin, you take care, and may the Lord bless and keep you always.
Same to you, my dear sister. I appreciate you so much.
Okay, all right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, that was Tennessee Treasure, now Reverend. Hey, and he might as well be, because Kurt is, and, you know, his brother Kenneth is, and Daddy was, so I just see it. It was just a matter of time, and I'm really, really happy.